Well, greetings to each of you this evening in the blessed name of Jesus. I told Brother Tim when I met him in the basement, I think it's good to be here. I know he mentioned that a week like this, I find that Satan is busy in my life and at home. And so I would definitely covet an interest in your prayers this week for myself and for my wife and family. It seems like that when God's name is lifted high and he is glorified, then Satan is not satisfied. And so I covet an interest in your prayers. Yarrisburg is a small congregation like this, so I feel very much at home here. Actually, our church building is a fairly new one since 07, and it's bigger than this. It holds 100 people comfortably in the auditorium, and then we can add chairs beyond that. But we have a normal Sunday morning attendance is about 65, give or take a little bit. So, and if you have any other questions, feel free to ask me. That's fine. Each evening, I'd like to have a little something for the children in the form of a Bible quiz. So those of you who are school age or can read, there are papers on the little round table right back underneath the light switches. So you can take them home with you tonight and bring them back tomorrow evening, and we'll talk about the answers to those questions. I am very much intrigued by Bible study, and I like to encourage others to Bible study every time I can. So I would like for you to avail yourself of those, and we'll have that every evening before the message. And since you don't have them this evening, I just wanted to talk just a bit about revivals. And maybe Brother Tim or somebody here preached a message about revivals and what revival is, but I just have a couple things I'd like to cover before we get into the message. Revival is a renewed interest to or interest in something. It's a state of being revived, the restoration of force, validity, or effect. And I hope that you did not come this week to listen to me and expect me to do something for you. It won't happen. Only God can do that. And I have prayed that God would use me. And you have prayed that your hearts would be open and that we could learn from him together. So are you looking for a good speaker? Are you looking for an emotional time? Are you looking for God's word to be preached in truth? I have seven things I just briefly go over quickly. By the way, where's the clock? Well, there it is. Okay. I try not to be too conscious of that clock, but I try to be respectful of you as well. I have five sons ranging in ages from 18 to 8 and a foster daughter who is 4. And I know what it's like to do school schedules and things like that. So we'll try to make it to the point and not extend it too long. That's my aim, my goal. Well, some components of revival. The first is prayer. I think Brother Keith told me that you will have prayer here tomorrow evening and Friday evening. And I don't know what your attendance of prayer services before this service is, but be here. Avail yourself of that. And of course, you can have your closet at home to pray as well. Yesterday morning, we had council meeting. And that's why I can't be here this coming Sunday, because we have communion. I'm sorry about that, but I wasn't thinking about my schedule when I gave my okay to do this. But in the council room, there were some young men that requested prayer. And as we were standing there and the bishop gave them some encouragement before they went out, he said, I have found, someone has told me this, and he said, I found it to be true, that reach out and help someone that has needs. And he said, you will find yourself strengthened. And if particularly thinking about the issue of prayer. Intercede for someone that you know has a need or other things. And God can work in your own heart while you're doing that. Number two is fasting. Are you serious about God speaking to you? You know, sometimes, and I'm a man too, sometimes we ask God and we want God to show us Himself. But we really are comfortable with our life. We don't want anything to change. And when we fast, we show to God, if you will, I don't know if that's proper terminology, but we show to God that we are really serious about the request that we have. Well, a week like this has a tendency to crowd everybody's schedule, and sometimes your personal devotional life suffers. Try to make special effort that that does not happen. Because that plays a part, too, in this revival effort. Well, of course, if you're going to be encouraged with the saints, you're going to have to be in attendance. It's pretty obvious. When God's word is spoken, number five, repentance is needed. Truth exposes sin. There is growth needed, change. And so we need to be open to that as well. And then I have for number six, do some inventory taking. Take time to think and ponder about your life. And a year ago, how are you now as far as your Christian walk? How are you now compared to the way it was then? And then number seven, be committed to change. If I want to walk in the light, I'm going to have to walk in the light that I have now, and then God will continue to light the path in front of me. And as I continue to walk in that light, He will continue to shine more light on my path. Be committed to change. All right. That'll do for the pre-sermon talk. I think we will have our theme song now, and I have chosen to sing number 321 in your books here. This song is a song of prayer, and let's think about the words as we sing. Why don't we all stand? 321.
Soul to Teach me to love thee as thine angels love. One holy passion filling all my frame. The
Teach my heart to cling to the cross, that instrument of death and dying, pain, suffering, agony. Well, it's interesting that Brother Tim read a couple verses from the book of Romans. I would like you to go there this evening. We'd like to begin in chapter 3. I had the privilege of teaching this book at Bible school, and I would like to bring you several messages from the book of Romans. I don't think they all will be there, but we'll have several this week that are from the book of Romans. I would like to take you down the Romans road tonight. Let's begin at verse 10 in Romans chapter 3. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Stop there. That is a horrible picture of man. And except by the blood of Jesus Christ, we are all there. The mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. Psalm 14, 1-3 says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God." He was looking for someone to understand. Verse 3 says, "They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." The humanists today, the psychologists, would have us believe that man is getting better. That is a lie. Man is not inherently good, and he is not getting better. Man was created with a free choice. And man had a perfect relationship with God. If we go back to the book of Genesis, we're not going to do that. There we realize Adam and Eve walked with God. They talked with God. They had close communion with God. And they interacted with Him. But from the time that they chose what God told them not to choose, there has been this separation from God. Man is sinful. God is holy. And if we follow our natural tendencies, we will end up wrong. There is no way that we can have enough willpower or perseverance or diligence, whatever you want to call it, there is no way that we can have enough to do right and be accepted by God. Our natural man is controlled by Satan, and it takes us away from God. There is a scripture that says that, and that is in Psalms as well, that says the heathen rage. And I thought of that as I was studying. You know, man outside of God is heathen. And we have our agenda, we have our goals and our plans and our ambitions. And outside of God, it is nothing. We are sinners. And yet God stooped down and made us out of the dust of the earth. How much pain must he feel when he looks at us and sees that we are sinners? We have rejected him. If you go to verse 23 here in Romans 3, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That is you and I this evening. Everyone in this city of Altoona and across the face of the earth. Go back to Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Then we go to Isaiah 53, verse 6, says, "For all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned aside, every one to his own way." What a dim, dismal picture. Well, number two, there is a penalty for sin. Not only are we bound with chains that we can't loosen, but we are headed for death. Romans 6, verse 23. The very first part of that verse says, "For the wages of sin is death." Death. We can't hardly comprehend. Not only is this death, I think from the time that Adam and Eve sinned, they began to die physically. Of course, they died spiritually immediately, but they began to die physically. And we know what physical death is. Last evening, we went and visited a new widow. 2 months ago, her husband was killed. And death is so real. It's final. It's separation. There's no way that I can go talk to that man or bring him back. You know, he has children. And they miss him tremendously. But death came as a result of sin. But not only physical death. If it was just physical death, it would not be so bad. But it's eternal death. Eternity. How could you describe eternity? I did a little bit of figuring today. And if a bird could take a grain of sand off of the East Coast and fly to the West Coast of the Pacific Ocean and drop it there, if my calculations were correct, he could make about 2 of those trips in a month. Now, how long would it take for the sand to be gone, disappeared, non-existent on the Atlantic coast, and be all on the Pacific coast? We can't hardly comprehend that, but that's eternity is just beginning then. Now, if you would take that same bird and you say he makes 2 trips a year, or maybe he makes 1 every 10 years. How long would it take the sand to get all on the East Coast? We just cannot hardly comprehend eternity. But the penalty for sin is death for eternity. And we can't get away from it. It is real. It is constant. I was speaking to a man about his soul, the neighbor close to our church, not far away. We were passing out, reaching out papers on a Sunday afternoon. And he's going to die like a dog. He told me that numerous times. I said, Howard, that's not what my Bible reads. Was he cold and calloused? Was he afraid? I don't know. But you know, people try to get around this eternity aspect. Sometimes they go to the crematorium and then they pay to have their ashes scattered out over some wilderness habitat or the ocean. What are their plans beyond here and now? I often wonder when I hear stories of that, you know, what are they thinking about or what are they looking for? Well, in chapter 7 here, verse 24, he says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? How am I going to get away from sin's misery? James 1:15 says, Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You know, sometimes we plant seeds in the ground. They don't come up. Maybe the conditions weren't right. It wasn't warm enough or it got too wet. Any number of things could happen. And so we planted seeds, but we never received a harvest. It is never that way in the spiritual. When we plant, there is a harvest. And from the time that we were an infant, we wanted our own way. It's just that simple. Number 3, God has a plan. Go back into chapter 6. I'd like to continue reading at verse 23. It says, But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friends, tonight, we do not have to complete the story where we just were. There is hope. If you go back to chapter 5, look at verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Have you ever just meditated about how blessed the Christian is with the weight, the burden that is gone? Freedom. The chains of sin are broken. That's God's plan. That's what he wants each of us to experience. God commended his love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died. What a blessed privilege to accept and receive that free gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. See, we can go from eternity without God. And you go back to that little story about the bird and carrying the grains of sand. And you can picture that in your mind again. And now we can talk about eternal bliss. How long does it go on? Forever and ever and ever and ever. That's God's plan. Number 4, we have a choice to make. Go to chapter 10 and verse 13. This is God's plan, but each of us are born with a will. And we are in control of that will. Here we have Romans 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call. My favorite verse is in Isaiah. Let me just find that here. I think I could quote it by memory. But I'll read it to you just so I get it right. Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 24, and it says, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear." That's the difference in time that it takes for me in my head and in my heart to purpose that I'm going to do it and actually get the words out of my mouth. Before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. You know, God is a great God, and God is in the heaven, way beyond where we can comprehend. We talked about eternity, and if you were thinking about God's dwelling place, it would be kind of the same stretch to our thinking, our thoughts, mine. But God can see me, and He can see you, and He wants desperately to have the relationship with us that used to be in the Garden of Eden, when things were perfect. But He created man with a will. So we need to choose. We need to call. Back in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart. Hebrews 11:6 says, "He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." And so we're at this threshold of a choice. Do I? Don't I? We have death and the bondage of sin, being a servant of Satan, and we have life, being joint heirs with Jesus Christ, eternity in heaven and bliss. And so we weigh in the balance. Do we? Don't we? Number five, a right choice makes a right relationship. Adam and Eve in the garden were driven out, never to come back. They went out from the presence of God. And there have been other Bible characters in Scripture that did the same. I think Esau was one of those. But if we choose to be reconciled, if we choose the gift of life, then that relationship can be restored again. Let's go back to chapter 5 in the book of Romans, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. What a different picture from Romans chapter 3. A person that has made their calling and election sure, they have peace. They have access to the throne because of the faith that they have put into Jesus and trusting that sacrifice to cover their sins. another evening we'd like to look at that a little bit more as far as how that all works in that relationship. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. A right choice makes a right relationship. Verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." See, when I read the law, I looked at the law. Paul said that when I looked at the law, I was condemned to die. I realized I was a sinner. It showed me the law, and I was outside of that, was on the wrong side of that. But that put him in a position where he realized that he had no hope, and his only hope was Jesus Christ. And that's why he says the law was a schoolmaster to bring me to Christ. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Number 6 is God's keeping power. Praise God tonight. We can look at the future and not be dismayed. I have a small engine repair business that's mobile. I pull an enclosed trailer and go out to customers' houses and work on their lawn equipment. So I meet a lot of people in the course of a day. And there is tremendous distress about our current world situation. It doesn't matter if it's in the United States of America or in Syria or where. People tell me all the time that I shouldn't get old. I was born to die. I mean, that's sin. We talked about that. But brothers and sisters this evening, friends, if you're on God's side, you can be there till time is no more. We can make it. We're in chapter 8 of Romans. Let's go to verses 38 and 39. Now let's back up to verse 37. "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing. There is nothing that is an excuse for me to fall out by the way. God's power is great enough, and the price has been paid. Salvation has been granted. A reconciliation is able to happen if I in my heart choose. Accept the conditions, give him my all, and I can be clean. I can be free. And I can walk in victory every day. Nothing. No angels, no principalities, no powers. Nothing that's in my past, nothing that will come in my future will be able to separate me from the love of God, be able to separate you from the love of God. God has made every provision that if we put our faith in him and trust him, that he will see us through. He will be there for us. And tonight, I don't know what your experience is. Is that a reality? Have you made it your choice to say yes to God. Maybe you haven't. Maybe there has been something that in your past or some power currently that is causing you to stumble and fall. We'd like to give an invitation tonight. And if God has spoken to you and in your heart you feel uneasy, you're not restful, you're not at peace, not the peace like we talked about here, stand to your feet and someone will be glad to pray with you and help you to victory after the service. What should our song be?
726.
726. Tonight, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, can fill your heart and mind. Let's sing. Dear God in heaven, we come to you just now in the quietness of these moments. We thank you for Jesus and the privilege that each of us have to walk in newness of life. And Lord, we pray that you would search each of our hearts here this evening as we are gathered here before your presence. Touch those spots that are stained with sin. Lord, grant us victory tonight through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Sing the second verse.
I come, well as I am.
Close this evening, the service. My prayer is that you have searched your heart and that all is well. But if it's not, come to Jesus before it is too late. I'm looking forward to tomorrow, but we have no promise of that. So seek him tonight. Remember the prayer service tomorrow evening here at 7 o'clock. Men and ladies, very well. Come expecting a blessing, and I'm sure God will be faithful. Let's stand to be dismissed.